Okay, we're recording.
Calling the November 9th Occupational Therapy Examiners Board meeting to order at 1:30. First we'll do roll call. Quinn McAllister, present.
Dana James, present.
Tony Hosenthal, present.
Barbara Paulson, present.
Item three, declaration of conflicts of interest. Do we have any conflicts today? Not for me. Item four, review and consideration of possible actions regarding approval of meeting minutes from last month. If there aren't any corrections or adjustments, I'll make a motion to approve those meeting minutes. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 4-0. Item five, review and consideration of possible future board dates. Are there any problems with those dates?
No.
Not for me. Moving on along to item six. Possible board actions and complaints. 6A, item one, Justin Christman, and I believe Natalia, is that correct?
Yes.
You guys want to could come up? Did you have an opening statement or?
Very briefly, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members of the board. This matter initially came before the board on June 8th, and at that time, the board indicated that they wanted an opportunity to verify that the reason for Justin Christman's termination was the perceived HIPAA violation and not any other reason. And now that that has been done, we have received and reviewed the documents submitted by Dignity Health, and they do confirm and corroborate that the sole reason for the termination was that perceived HIPAA violation. So we're asking the board to dismiss the complaint.
Any questions? From the HR documents, it did appear that that was a HIPAA violation, and that's why it was terminated. I'm not understanding what your justification for dismissing the complaint is, I guess.
Based on the reasons in our initial response, in terms of we do believe that the employer had overreacted in terminating the employment based on the HIPAA violation, and the only other basis for the complaint was the failure to report within the 10 days, which we believe we adequately addressed in the response.
Okay. And just to,
go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify that you did agree that the action did not reflect sound judgment. Was that the wording in here? Okay.
Board members, if I can ask you to please try to speak into your microphone because we have a lot of people here in the audience and it's difficult to hear in the back row.
Okay.
And I would like to ask to go into an executive session for legal advice.
I hear a motion to go into
executive
session for legal advice. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 4-0.
And the time?
1:35.
1:35.
Is there an office? Going down.
Okay, we're recording again if you'll state the time.
Okay, returning to regular session at 2 p.m. Okay, I think the first thing I would like to address is you think that the employer over-exaggerated by releasing this or terminating his employment. I don't find that relevant to the fact that he did commit a HIPAA violation. So I don't see a correlation there. If somebody were to come with a HIPAA violation on the board, I think we would still hear that complaint and validate that, et cetera. The employment piece is irrelevant. I wanted to say that real quick. We'll go ahead and start with questioning.
So I just wanted to ask you, when you received that photo, I am trying to remember, like, how many people did you show once you received that photo?
It was just Lacey and her. The PT and her student was sitting next to her. I didn't directly show her student, but her student may have been releasing it, you know, sitting next to her because I was in between them, so.
Okay. And then upon reading it, it was a person that had been on the news, so then that meant that that was a very identifiable person from just that photo.
I had no idea that. I didn't even know who the patient, I had no idea who she was. I hadn't heard any, I still don't know who she is. I have no idea. I never heard anything about it on the news. I had no idea who it is still.
Okay. And if I could just briefly add, my understanding is that the actual photograph of the torso also did not contain any identifiable information.
Right, but sometimes just a photo, if it is a very known case, and if it was on the news, that is another, that connection is made very easily for the HIPAA violation. Is that so?
So my question is, just a general knowledge questions. How is the patient's information, her being, the general knowledge of the public knowing that she's in the hospital, how is that not, like a violation in itself?
I'm assuming she would have had to have released that information.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just curious.
So, just because HIPAA is such an important thing to make sure we protect our patients, I think that I would look at possibly doing a consent agreement with probably an ethics and HIPAA course for about 40 extra hours additional to what our already standards are. And then a probation of probably 12 months, and then possibly a civil penalty, but being able to keep the license with that consent agreement. If so.
I'm sorry, how many hours?
I put 40.
40.
I mean, it could be 30 possibly.
And just to clarify, it does violate our state statute under unprofessional conduct. That's 32-34010U, which is a violation of any state or federal law, just so you know what we're looking at.
So that's up for discussion.
I think a civil penalty is appropriate. The 40 hours, maybe I would come down a little bit on the hours.
Okay.
Know what the thoughts are for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Down maybe to 30, I think.
Okay.
If you do an ethics and a HIPAA course, then 30 would be fine.
Okay. And I don't know if I missed it. Was that in addition to his regular?
In addition to the
whatever he needs for his license.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then probation at 12 months, and then the civil penalty. And I was thinking 500, but I'm open discussion.
I think that's a reasonable number for a civil penalty as well.
Any discussion?
I would agree with that.
I agree with that. Do we have a formal motion or additional discussion?
I have findings that it was a HIPAA violation. The conclusion of law would be that it's a violation 32-34-01, section 10U. I make a motion that we offer a consent agreement with 30 additional hours of continuing education on top of the required already licensed amount that we have to have, probation of 12 months and a civil penalty of $500.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
I'll do a roll call vote. Quentin Kouser, yes.
Dana Hutchins, yes.
Donnie Hosenfeld, yes.
Barbara Paulson, yes.
Motion carries 4-0. Any questions?
No, Chairperson.
I'm sorry?
No questions. I presume we'll be receiving a copy of the consent and the offered terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'll send it to your office.
You know what? The one thing we didn't address in that motion is a timeline for the continuing ed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't do anything on that. Can I make an addendum?
Yeah, you can.
But don't we have to vote on it again?
Mm-hmm. So it's 12 months. So if you just want to give them the 12 months to take the 30 hours,
so that's okay. The whole motion over again?
Oh, okay.
No.
I think that's
no.
Okay.
Okay.
So just to clarify, the hours would have to be completed within the 12 months. That's how it was languaged, if that's comfortable with you all.
Yes.
Okay.
There's plenty of time to get it done.
Okay.
Thank you for coming in.
We're on item 6A2, Cece Hutchinson. And if she would come on up.
I've never done this before, so I'm not sure exactly how to start. Did you have any questions about the letter that I received? I mean, do you want me to just explain?
If you feel like you'd like to, that's completely fine.
Okay. So, I want to start by saying that I've never had a write-up. I've never had to sign anything saying I wasn't doing my job or a complaint about my billing. I worked at Wills for 3 years. I've never had any trouble or complaint. I did have some difficulty getting from the house to house on time, but never any billing kind of issues. I feel like this was an honest mistake, and I take full responsibility for it. It was a really, really bad mistake to make. I would like to say that I was really sick all of August and on Theraflu and trying to get my stuff in on time, and I don't know if I got distracted. How normally I would do my billing would be at the end of each billing cycle is kind of an incentive to kind of give me an idea of what my paycheck would be. I'd go and I'd fill out the ones that my patients that I knew that I was going to see. And then I'd go back and I would cross-check it before I turned any billing in, if that makes sense. And doing that just kind of gave me an incentive and let me know, you know, what kind of paycheck I might get. And then I'd go back through and I would cross-check and delete and, you know, write in no-show if it was a no-show and that. But I think that I must have been distracted. I was really sick and just, it was an oversight, a bad one.
So I was trying to follow along on your letter of the timeline. So when you were explaining that you went into the billing system, sorry, and you got distracted. So it's, I'm assuming from your description, it's an electronic billing system.
Well, what it is a spreadsheet that I did on my computer.
Okay.
And so I would go in and I would mark all the ones that I thought were going to be there so I could see what my potential paycheck would be, and then I'd go and I'd cross-check it.
Okay. So
Does this answer the question?
So it's an Excel sheet or something
like
that? Yes. Okay. So is there little boxes and you just mark your boxes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I would then go line by line and cross-check it. And if, you know, something had happened where there was a cancellation or a no-show, then I would go back in and I would correct that box from the one to the, you know, to whether it be a cancel or a no-show or whatever the case might be.
So this spreadsheet goes to a director of some sort for processing?
Yes.
And then when I was looking at your letter from the timeline, so you realized later that there was a mistake.
Uh-huh. I realized later, and I had desperately tried to get a hold of Tony. I emailed, I called. I don't know if she was out during that time, but I desperately tried to get a hold of her. I know I texted. Additionally, in our system, I don't know if you're familiar with Fusion. They have a little area where you can click on it and you can write notes. And I went into the system and I tried to write a note that was a billing mistake. I didn't know what else to do because I couldn't get anybody from the office.
Okay, so when you're out in the field, you do a paper note, though, with the family and have them sign? Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Mine is on an iPad, and I have them sign after each service. And I admit that I wasn't there for those 2 days. This little girl had just gotten out of the hospital with cancer, and there's no way I would have, with me being sick, there's no way I would have gone and seen her on those 2 days.
So what exactly was submitted? I think that's, I'm feel like I'm still a little confused on what was submitted.
The Excel sheet, right?
The Excel sheet, my billing, yes. And like I said, I was sitting there in front of the TV doing my billing and documentation like I always do, and I think that I must have got distracted. I don't know, maybe I got up and let my dog out. I don't know what happened. But I do know that, you know, I missed that and should have gone back in there and able to switch that to cancel.
So if I'm understanding correctly, you have an Excel sheet and you're comparing your notes from your iPad that has signed and putting them into the Excel sheet, but you'd already had them filled out. You were going in and double checking everything to make sure the Excel sheet matched.
That is what I do. I double check from when I was actually there to
what was
that?
So I see it looks like this happened for 4 clients. Is that right?
It happened. That is what happened for the first client for those first 2. The second one, they said that I wasn't there, but I have signatures.
One of them, she proved that was correct.
Oh, okay. So 2.
Mm-hmm. 2.
Okay.
And that was just a horrible mistake, and I apologize. I mean, it won't happen.
So did you write a note assuming that you were going to do X, Y, and Z? Because I feel like that's the impression I got from what I was reading.
I'm sorry.
Did you write the note?
Yes, I did. If you're wanting to know, did I write notes for those?
No.
Those 2 dates?
I'm just going to look at the 2 that were proven to be inaccurate. Did you write those notes, say you were supposed to see them on Tuesday at 3:00? Did you write them on Tuesday thinking you were going to make them up on Friday? Because that's kind of the impression I got from reading the information.
I'm sorry, make what up on?
So did you have a soap note that matched the dates that you did not see the kiddo?
Yes.
And you did them on that day?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to...
Is that...
I'm just going to try to...
I'm not understanding your question.
Yeah, I'm going to try to recap.
Did you write the notes in anticipation of seeing that patient? You wrote it ahead of time?
Are you asking, did I write a note ahead of time? No, I wouldn't do that because I don't know for sure how they were going to do, so I would not do that.
Okay. So in other words, it was just a mark on an Excel sheet. It wasn't like you create a false note for that child. Did you create a note with a signature on it for that child, for that date?
No, there was no signature from a parent or anything.
Okay, so did you, I
did do a note, but like I said, I was sick, confused, you know, probably for being on the Theraflu. I don't know if confused is the right word, but I did do that, thinking that I still needed to do it, and I did.
So in other words, I'm trying to get your process down here. You're in the home with the parent. You have them sign on your iPad that you were there. So it's maybe a thing that just says for that date that you saw that child.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And correct. Then you come back and you put your billing on the Excel sheet and then you write a note for every one of those.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I just want to ask one clarification because I am not an occupational therapist. Okay. So you stated that I always I have always pre-entered expected billing.
Yeah.
So explain that to me, what that looks like.
So they gave us a billing sheet from the office that we filled out every time. It would have every child's name on it.
Okay.
It has the date and everything. And so in anticipation, after I would send in the billing, then I would take all that out. And I would put in a new, in this case, one, because it was for 1 hour. And then I'd go back and I would cross-check, I guess, my assumed billing and what really did happen. And I can only think that I just missed that line with her name on it.
Okay.
So if I'm imagining correctly, you have an Excel sheet. It's got all these, the names of the kids on one side, the dates on the top.
Yep.
Because I've seen these before.
Yes.
And then you put the mark wherever you see that child, but you pre-fill it out so that way you can kind of know what your income is going to be that month. So you go through, and if you see that child every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, you fill that Tuesday.
Yep. And okay. Then right before I turn in my notes and my billing, I go through and I double check. Oh, okay, wait a minute. That one was a cancel. I had to cancel for that one, so then I would go into that Excel sheet and I would fix it so it would match to, so if it was a no-show, then I would take the one from a no-show or to a cancel or whatever the case might have been.
So, I'm going to go to discussion, is that all right? In my mind, it's very easy on Excel sheet with little tiny boxes
sure.
to make that mistake. But I would be open for, you know, if you felt like that we needed to do some more continuing education, but I really do feel like that from the description and everything I read that it was an honest mistake because those boxes are tiny. Mm-hmm. And going along, and especially if you're not feeling well, going through your iPad and making sure that the signature matches and going through the little check mark boxes. I mean, I would definitely suggest not pre-filling that out anymore or having a...
Because that literally translated into a document that has a SOAP note and a signature for both the CODA and the OT.
Which didn't happen.
That's where I'm trying, right.
Yeah. That's the concern that I, yeah.
But for the record, I'll say that I no longer do that. That was a tough lesson to learn, but I do not do that anymore.
So the part that is more concerning is that you create a note that really didn't happen, but I mean, I've been doing home health pediatrics for a long time. The child does the same thing a lot of the times because you're working on the same thing, but yeah, that is a huge, you put your signature on there that you did have that happen. So
I did. I definitely am up to that. I did do that.
I mean, it definitely sounds like it was a mistake, but it was in definitely in poor form to pre-do notes. I think the closest I've ever done to that is in an inpatient clinic. I've opened up a note and kind of typed as the session was going. So I've never done preemptive notes. Mm-hmm. Just
no, the notes were never pre-done.
That's, I guess maybe, I don't understand where this information is coming from.
I did the billing.
So we have a SOAP note that we're looking at for two instances where did this information come from? Maybe that's what I'm missing. Where did this information come from?
I think that with my system of fusion that I use, it automatically brings up the note. And I must have just been distracted and sick and clicked on it.
So it automatically brings up the note.
So,
yeah, the billing.
So you accidentally pulled in maybe a last session into it?
Possibly. That would be what it would.
So I guess what the chairman's trying to find out is how do you create that SOAP note? Because that's the more issue that we're trying to find out. Like, what is that process in order to do that? Like, how easy is that to make a mistake to pull up and actually have a note that you did something with that child during that visit?
Well, I didn't notice the billing thing, so then the next step is to go into the Fusion and to do the note, and I just did that because it was an oversight.
So she's looking at it.
There's no other way that I can explain it. I mean, the Fusion will bring up the old note.
So you have an Excel document that you put information in, and then...
Separate, yes.
Right, and then at some point, maybe once a week or something, you go into Fusion and enter in your actual billing documentation and sign.
Yes.
Okay.
But you do it once a month or once a week?
This would have been every 2 weeks.
Okay, so the note information came from the Excel and you put it into Fusion?
No, not from the Excel.
I just am wondering.
Okay, that's why I'm missing where you're actually getting this information.
I think what happened is with the Fusion, it automatically brings up the note from the previous session.
If you want to.
And I sent it through.
So when you were confused...
Well, I don't know if confused is driving sick. Yes. Okay.
So...
Maybe distracted.
So where did you get those visits? Was it that you were creating a note from your Excel sheet with the X on it? Yes.
I'm just curious, is Ms. Baker here today? No? Okay. Just one.
But you no longer work for Wells at the Bus?
No, I don't.
And you're a CODA, correct?
Yes, okay. I am a CODA.
Would you like a consent agreement? What are you thinking? I can tell you're thinking.
I am thinking for sure. I'm not sure what I'm thinking. I definitely feel like you didn't do it on purpose, and there's definitely some poor practices. Whether probation is appropriate, I am really on the fence about that.
I did hear you say you've kind of changed your strategies when it comes to your...
I have changed my strategies actually a lot. Now, what I have learned to do is no matter how tired I am, I do all of my notes at the end of the day, no matter what. I don't do something that will kind of give me a projected billing thing anymore. I do that day by day as that happens. It goes with me in my pink notebook, and as soon as I get out and back into the car, check. Or if it was a no-show, I write that down immediately. So yes, my process has changed quite a bit.
I think a consent agreement for continuing ed, and maybe at most 6 month probation period.
A letter of agreement.
Or a letter of
agreement. So a letter of concern,
letter
or you
concern.
Non-disciplinary
consent agreement for CE, that's an option that I want.
A non-disciplinary
letter of concern.
And then you could add.
Okay, a consent agreement for a letter of concern with continuing education.
So it would be a consent agreement for a non-disciplinary order for CME. That's
okay.
What you would think.
Okay. So. I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
How many hours continue?
Just one on, I don't know, billing or ethics, one or two, I don't know, 15 or 10.
Between like maybe two classes. Each class is between 4 to 6. Maybe 10.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'm going to try to do this correctly the first time, but I'm going to make a motion for a non-disciplinary consent agreement to add 10 hours of continuing education around ethics.
In addition.
In addition to the required continuing education for our licensure. And that has to be done within 6 months.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries 4-0. Do you have any questions?
You have a question?
Well, probably I still get to see my kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you for coming this week.
Thank you, Stacy.
Item 6A3, Ms. Dove. This was a situation where she terminated her employment herself and left a short notice. I don't believe that there's any reason for us to open this case if there's no discussion.
Yeah. I think the documentation we saw didn't.
I'll make a motion to dismiss the complaint. No.
Dismiss the complaint. Yes. Are they here though? Did you want to ask if anyone was here to speak?
Is there anybody here to speak on either party's behalf? Okay. I'll make a motion to dismiss this complaint. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 4-0. And that brings us down to 6-4, Shaylin Johnson. And if she would come on up. Did you have a statement for us? Any question?
I don't think it's small, just if you guys have any questions for me.
I think we originally invited you in because we had some concern on the information we got in regards to a recent incident. And that was a couple cases of child endangerment and possession of paraphernalia. So that was the original reason we called you in. There were some concerns about that we wanted to discuss. Dana, do you need a minute? Mm-hmm.
Okay. No.
And I think it was the both of us that really were concerned.
Child endangerment was all dropped, and just the paraphernalia was kept on. And I've completed everything through the courts that they've asked of, and I've completed an intensive outpatient program. My kids have been counseled.
And that was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, can I ask if there's been any other, Karen, can I ask if there's been any other complaints?
No. Actually, no, not at this point.
Okay. Nothing legally either.
What have you changed since this event?
We had a life. Like I said, I completed therapy and addressed things that started me down the path I was going. So I completed all my therapy. You know. I attend meetings regularly. I sponsor people now. My counselor has me come back and speak to women in the program. I'm very active.
Okay. Do you go to meetings weekly or monthly or?
Daily almost.
Okay. So you have immediate support and then that high frequency. Mm-hmm.
And are you still involved with the parenting support group too, or just mostly?
Yeah, my kids still, they're still seen through counseling and all that, and we still do family counseling still, even a year later.
There was a lot of really good letters, so mm-hmm. Looks like you really know a lot of people.
Yeah, got some good.
Any other discussion or emotion? I can feel the change, I think.
I can too, so. I guess I would make them, this is a renewal, right?
Well, this is actually.
I submitted it as inactive at the time with everything, and I got all my hours and everything done. I just was waiting for this, and then I'll submit my hours for the, to turn my license back to active. I guess, is that where I'm at?
So originally, this was part of her renewal submission, but then the board opened a complaint at the August 10th, 2018 meeting.
Because when I submitted the renewal, I submitted all of this.
So.
We're determining whether we continue the complaint and do XYZ or dismiss the complaint.
Okay, so I will make a motion that we dismiss the complaint.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And last item 6A5, Christy Allman. And I believe she's present too, if she wants to come on up. Thank you, Senior Andrew.
I was invited here to this meeting. I had sent a letter that addressed the complaint against me. Mm-hmm. What I'm not going to sit here and try to justify anything that I did because there is no justification. I was, what I call is, I had a big breakdown. I was under a lot of stress. I had a lot of stress at home. And I took a home health job. And after a while, there were two of us OTs. The other OT went on maternity leave and actually quit. So I was going up to Mammoth and down to Tubac, and I was doing the whole area. And I went to my supervisor and I said, I can't do this. I was falling apart because I'm used to being able to handle everything. And I wasn't handling it very well. And with the other issues in my personal life, I lost my moral compass, and what I did is I wrote notes for patients that I did not see. I got the information from the PT notes and from the nurse's notes for 1 week, the first week in April. I was so depressed, and I was so out of it that I couldn't leave my house. I was at home for that whole week, and I wrote notes on those patients. The billing doesn't go out until the middle of the following week. So after the weekend, I realized what I had done, and it was like, I knew what it was wrong, and I went into the charts, and I deleted all of the notes and the evals, and as I was doing that, Dawn, my supervisor, was trying to lock them in, and I was like, no, you know, I wiped them all out. I didn't do any billing on it. I wasn't doing it for anything but just to not look like I wasn't doing my job and not able to keep up. There was so much shame. I mean, I've been an OT for 30 years and I couldn't keep up. I couldn't focus. I went 3 days without sleep. I was sleeping 2 or 3 hours a night, and I made bad decisions. I cleaned up my mess. The CEO of the company contacted me and said he had to report it to Medicare. They did turn in a report to Medicare. Medicare came back and said because there was no billing and there were no notes that went out, that I was able to catch everything before it turned into anything else, that they weren't gonna do anything with it. And then the next week I got a letter from you guys saying that Dawn had turned in a complaint on me, which she had every right to do. Like I said, I'm not gonna justify it. I'm not gonna do anything. I want my license to be inactive because I am still in therapy and I am seeing a doctor. I've had multiple jaw surgeries that was one of the reasons that I wasn't sleeping and having things going on. I was in chronic pain. You know, I can tell you all these things, but nothing was about what I did. I knew that it was wrong. I was planning on seeing those patients in my own time the week after. But when it came to that following week after, I still wasn't able to leave my house. I knew I wasn't going to be able to make up for what I did, which is why I wiped everything out. So I still don't feel like I'm ready to get my OT license back. I'd like to be inactive. I'm getting medical follow-ups. I'm I'm doing everything that I need to do to get myself back into my life. And I'm getting feedback from friends. I'm being held responsible by people that, you know, that I respect and people that I worked with. And what I'd like to do is return at some time if and when I feel like I'm ready to be an OT again. It's not right now. I would like to be active because I just feel like the stress that I had before this and then this, just getting ready for this meeting this week is kind of throwing me for a loop. And, you know, I don't want to go into everything that's going on unless you ask me to, but that's kind of where I am.
So are you voluntarily surrendering your license or are you...
No, I don't. I would prefer not to. I mean, I've been an OT for 30 years. I would like to not go out in that kind of...
I just want to clarify.
Yeah, no, I would like just for my license to be inactive. And at some point, if I feel like I'm ready, and if, you know, the people around me see that I'm functioning at the level that I was functioning before, I've actually made a lot of improvements since April. But I don't feel like I'm at any point where I would want to be, where I would be working with patients. And actually, working with patients wasn't the problem. It was the notes and the, you know, the computer and all of that was giving me problems and keeping me from not being able to keep up. I was working 7 days a week from the minute I got home until, you know, I went to bed just to try to keep up, and that wasn't working for me. So I guess I'm just kind of putting myself here and saying I would like to go inactive until I feel like I can be a responsible OT and a normal person again.
If I understand the law correctly, we would have to address this complaint either way. I think there would be an option to table it, but is that correct? I mean, you can surrender a license to avoid having this conversation, or we can table it until you feel better and then still address the fact that there were some fraudulent billing that didn't get processed.
No, there was no billing that went out and no notes went out. I was able to catch everything, and I, on the letter that I, on my resignation letter, because when I saw what I was doing, I sent my resignation letter in right away, and I talked to the CEO of the company, who wrote me a wonderful letter. But I sent a letter, I sent you guys, and on the complaint, there was my email that shows exactly what I did to correct everything that I had done. So, luckily, nothing went out. No billing, no notes, nothing. I got it all deleted in time. It does not justify what I did. I still did what I did.
No, I mean, the intent was still clearly there at that point, and then you realized, so.
Yeah, I had a reality check, and my moral compass kind of came back to the world for a while, saying that this is not
professional. So at this point, do you not feel like you're fit to practice?
I feel like I could deal with patients. I don't think I could deal with the stress of the... I would never go back into home health. Never. That's just not my thing. I just, you know... I don't know. If I do go back with OT, I would probably do it at a part-time or even a PRN level. I mean, I don't feel like I would be bad working with patients, but I just don't feel like I could keep up with the pace of anything right now.
The other half of the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have depression. I mean, I'm on antidepressants. And I went in and I talked to Don about this. We increased my antidepressants. I'm ADD, so we increased my Adderall to try to get me to be able to focus and do this job. It's like I was trying to do all that stuff while I was still working. But then that last week, I just fell apart. I mean, I just lost it. It was like I couldn't keep up, and I couldn't fake it, and I didn't want to fake it the way that I did it. I was so ashamed. I still am. I mean, I will always be, because I just can't believe that I did that. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not dishonest. And that's where I am. So.
I want to make a motion to go into the executive session for legal advice.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 4-0. Going into executive session at 2:41.
Okay, we're recording.
Going into regular session at 2:57. And we were discussing the matter of Christy Palma. Okay, so at this point, we've acknowledged that you input fraudulent billing that by chance was caught and deleted before it was processed. All of it? Is that, that's my understanding? Okay. Are there additional questions?
So how long, I was going to ask, how long between the time that you put it in, and I think you answered this, but I missed a little bit of it, and the time that you decided to go ahead and go back and delete it?
I put it in at the end of the first week in April.
Can you speak up,
please? Oh, I'm sorry.
Into the mic.
Oh, first week in April. So it was towards the end of that week, and then that Monday is when I realized that I was not making a good decision and that I needed to undo it. So, and I knew they didn't do the billing until Wednesday of the next week. So that's when I went through and was deleting everything that I had done and notified them that I had done that.
So I'm glad you did go ahead and address it because, you know.
Me too.
But the initial intent, and like you said, your compass was a little bit off of that initial intent of billing for something that didn't happen. And even if you would have done in another day, by Medicare regulations, it, you have to bill the very day that you do it. So that's where my concern is that knowing that, that you absolutely have to have it on the day that you do it.
So even if you would have input the information and saw them on a different time, different date, that's still false documentation.
Exactly. I know that. I was aware of that as I was scrambling to do everything.
Is there anyone from Sacred Heart present?
No,
so what have you learned from kind of this experience?
First of all, I learned that self-awareness and listening to the people around me is very important. What I should have done is I either should have gone down part-time or I should have left my job because I wasn't able to do it properly. I couldn't keep up with the computer program. So I learned that, but I learned also that I need to take care of myself and make sure that I am healthy before I can, you know, do other things. And I had a friend that was giving me feedback that I just was brushing off. You know, she was just saying, you got to do something, you know, you're not yourself. Mm-hmm. I can tell there's something wrong. And that should have been my flag, mm-hmm. and it wasn't. I went 2 weeks past that. I definitely need to meet others, and I am continuing to do therapy, and I am on medication, and the stress in my personal life has definitely changed.
And Christy, can I ask how long was it till you had that, you know, oh my God, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, and then sought, because you're seeing medical
and a concert. Yes.
So was that
yes.
an immediate thing, or weeks or months after?
No, I started it while I was still working, because I felt like I was losing some ground. I didn't
okay.
realize I was as far along as I was.
Okay.
I thought, you know, as long as I was trying to, you know, get my medication changed. And every time I did, I went to Dawn and I said, you know, let me just up this, you know, because I was struggling so much. Mm-hmm. Mainly I was struggling to leave my house. I mean, it was just so overwhelming to me that I just couldn't leave my house. So I probably started that 2 or 3 months before this happened. And when this happened, it's like I knew at the time when I was doing it, you know, there was like this voice in my head saying, this is wrong. You know, don't do this. But yet, it was like, you know, what else can I do? You know, I didn't have the reasoning, and I didn't talk to anybody. I, you know, I normally, and my friend said this, normally you'll say something. You know, Sherry says, I tattle on myself if I do something wrong. Mm-hmm. Or if I, you know, if I, to get my thinking back on track, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, you used the word shame, that you were ashamed earlier, so.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, being an OT, I mean, I graduated from OT school when I was 30, and being an OT has always been one of the most important things in my life. And I always felt like I was really good at it. And I still feel like I'm good with the people. It was just, I don't know. It was probably the reason I never went into home health before. Because I kind of knew that the structure, I'm not really that great on structure myself. Which caused me to get more and more depressed because I just felt like I wasn't keeping up. I just, you know, felt like there was something wrong with me. When I should have just quit and said this isn't the job for me, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't. And here I am.
I think we can all agree that there is a violation of 34, 3201. Oh, I lost my numbers here. 34.
32,
32, 01. 32, 34, 01.
Yeah.
Section 10Q.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to rattle that off. So I think now we just kind of figure out what to do from here. There isn't an option to just go inactive. I think if I understand correctly, you can go inactive upon renewal only. So that's not a real option. We do have to address the complaint. The other option is to surrender your license. And I speak only for me when I say this. I don't think that's a logical decision because I think that the whatever we decide will be less than how it would look if you did, in fact, surrender your license. Mm-hmm. I can only speak for myself on that.
Yeah. And you can choose to just be inactive. Yourself by not seeking employment.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Yeah, no matter what you guys do, I would never go back to work unless I felt like I could. And, you know, my confidence is so shaken right now that that would not be an option for me right now.
Okay. From my standpoint, I think this does dictate some kind of disciplinary action. I'm open to hear other opinions, obviously.
What are you thinking in terms of?
I'm a little on the line. I mean, it did get deleted, but the intent was there, so that's where I'm a little.
Right. I mean, you've been fully transparent and you've taken responsibility, but you still did the act, even.
And I know I have to accept the consequences. And I'm going to do that.
Almost.
I was literally just thinking about, for me, taking the step-by-step, kind of discussing whether it should be disciplinary or non-disciplinary, and then we can go into the discussion of what level of disciplinary action or non-disciplinary action.
Okay. If we're going to be, I would do a non-disciplinary. My preference.
And I would agree with that.
Why?
Because I think, you know, you realize that you made a mistake and you went back and corrected that, and nothing was processed, nothing was, you know, nothing was billed, and, you know, the intent was there, but you realized that you were making a mistake.
Bob is the CEO. When I talked to him, and he called me back the next day too, and he said to me, he said, you know, you're like family here, mm-hmm. and I know you, and I know you wouldn't do this normally, and that meant the world to me too, because I just, like I said, I can't believe that I did it, so hearing that other people can believe that I did it too is helpful.
And I don't feel there's any validity to whether it was processed or not. I mean, that's just by chance. That's sometimes you get 7, sometimes you get 3.
Well, although Christy did say that the billing goes through on a Wednesday, and you were aware of that, so you did do it 2 days ahead. I'm not excusing anything, but just...
And I will never excuse this. I will never, ever think that this was okay, no matter what.
And I agree with Barbara that she knew that it was going out, so she did take it out beforehand. She realized it was Wednesday.
I just wish I would have realized it a little sooner. My biggest thing is I just, even if I never do OT again, I just hate for my record to be, you know, that's what I look at. It's like, you know, for 30 years, I just took so much pride in it and to leave out this note. It's just horrible. I did it to myself, which makes it worse, actually.
Am I hearing you say non-disciplinary as well?
I am meaning that way. You know, you were in a really bad place physically and emotionally, and again, not excusing it, but I
agree.
So.
I think non-disciplinary too.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, do we have a discussion for non-disciplinary action?
I definitely think continuing education is required in ethics.
What did you say?
Continuing education.
Continuing education.
I have time to do lots.
Okay, so.
And we give plenty of time with that, so maybe 12 months. Mm-hmm. Or when is renewal?
My renewal is September 11th of
2019.
So okay. By the next renewal date of September, to have.
Maybe 6 additional, like 2-3 credit classes, or
6 or 10.
Six. Yeah. In addition to
the ones that I need.
The ones that you need for.
And I would have it around billing.
Mm-hmm. And ethics.
Ethics, yeah.
Do you want it either or both?
Both.
Okay.
So ethics and billing would be your.
So two different
focus.
I have to tell you, say you guys, that I taught at Pima Medical Institute for 3 years in Mesa here, and then 6 months down in Tucson, and I taught at ethics. You know, I
know Lisa Walters, and I have a lot of respect for her. I was a CODA taught by her originally.
Donnie, did you
want to
make a motion?
Sure.
Will you speak into the microphone, please?
So I make a motion for a non-disciplinary consent agreement for an additional 6 CEUs in addition to the required amount for your renewal by... And we'll give you 12 months for that by your next renewal.
By September 11th of 2019?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have a second?
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No? Do I need to explain the why? I feel like it should be disciplined. Motion carries 3-1. Any further questions?
So, what does that mean exactly?
Karen will reach out to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll send you the non-disciplinary consent agreement that you'll sign.
Okay. Okay. And does this go on our record then as a...
The public has access to that record, but it doesn't show up as discipline, which is, it's treated differently.
Moving on to item 6.
Thank you for coming in and sharing your story.
Shayna Lee Shelley, and that was a disclosure that looks like it wasn't disclosed in a proper timeline. Is that accurate?
Let's see. Just a moment. Okay, Mr. Chair, Ms. Shelley did notify the board of her arrest on June 22nd of 2018. The arrest was on April 14th, 2018. She then notified us on September 19th of a proposed disciplinary action by the Oregon Occupational Therapy Licensing Board.
In relation to that.
In relation to that. And then on October 25th, 2018, she notified us that the Oregon OT, or Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, had issued a consent order.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I understood that correctly. So essentially, this one I'm seeing from Oregon is from a DUI. Mm-hmm. And they're not related to that.
I believe it's related to that, and maybe the timing of her reporting.
Is there any discussion or a motion for this complaint? Shauna Lee here. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
So we already looked at this when it came in.
Yeah.
And it's a DUI, so I...
It's not an act of moral turpitude.
So we're going to... I'll make a motion to take no action. Is that the right?
So it's before you, with the information you have from the other state's licensing board and her other information, it's whether or not to open a complaint in this matter. It's up to you.
I don't. I think what Oregon's doing is pretty extreme for the situation, especially how strict Arizona already is with DUIs on that side. So I would dismiss.
So motion to take no action.
To take no action. Do I second or any additional discussion?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 4-0. All right. Let's make this second half quick. Kind of like going through the complaints first. Item 7, this is initial applications. I will make a motion to approve the 31 administrative complete initial applications. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item 7B, renewal applications. I'll make a motion to approve the administrative complete renewals in the number of 98. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0. And 7C, we have two renewals, one inactive, and things to that being temp license. I'll make a motion to approve the renewal applications to go to inactive. Do I have a second?
Second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0. Brings it down to item 8, possible action on licensure. 8A1 is Shannon Lambert. And for discussion, is she present?
No, she is
just a disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Was I seeing that right? It's from 2013?
Yes.
And this is our... it's an initial. Okay, that makes sense. My mind is melted from all the complaints. If there's any concerns or open for discussion, or do I have a motion?
It's just a misdemeanor.
Yeah, fairly old. 5 years old. Okay. Through a motion.
I make a motion to approve the initial application for Shannon Lambert.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0. And that moves down to item 9, and I'll turn that over to Karen for the financial report and so on.
Okay, item 9. A, the financial report. I do have the financial report for the end of October. However, it doesn't have any of our projections in it, so it doesn't give us a true idea of how we stand financially. I put our projections in there, and it shows that we're doing fine. However, I do have a meeting with our accounting person next week to make sure that that I have calculated that correctly and I didn't forget anything. Then item 9B, the administrative project status report, number 1, policies and procedures. I'm still updating the policies and procedures for both boards, and that will continue for probably the next 6 months. 9B2, application automation or e-licensing, that still continues to move forward. We still have bugs. We're identifying things that need to change. We have not budgeted to have modifications made for this fiscal year, and I have not asked for it for the next year. But one of my goals is to walk all of the agencies that are using this program through the workflow process and identify all of the things that all of the agencies want to change so that we can take advantage of commonalities and save a little bit of money on that. Then 9C, the 5-year rule review. I stated in the last meeting that was approved by the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. I also met with Emily Rajokovich from Governor Ducey's office. She's a policy advisor about getting an exemption to the rulemaking moratorium. And we went through item by item, and most items she's willing to give an exemption on. So I just need to send her a list of the items that only require a change to rule, because she cannot approve changes to statute. That will have to go through the legislation. Okay. Legislature. And then my final item is 9D, update on executive director performance evaluation process. The board chair requested that this be added to this agenda. I did send an email to our human resources department last week, and I have not heard anything back. There's no form that's on the website for board members to do an evaluation, and you don't have access to our HR system to do that performance evaluation through that. So we just have to figure something else out.
Okay. I'd be more than happy to table this until we can hear back from HR. That would be appropriate guidance.
Sounds good.
So we'll table that. Mm-hmm. All right. Item 10, items for next month's agenda. So we'll carry that item over. Is there anything else we need to add? Or? Okay. Call the public. I guess had a good meeting to watch. Depending if you're still awake. All right. There's nothing from call the public. We'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 3:19. Oh, you go past me.